Today I want to share with you from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Listen to these words. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, go tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, tell them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Interpersonal relationships, they're not easy. Interpersonal relationships with one another, they're not easy. They are difficult. They are hard. Things do happen. It's tough, isn't it? Sometimes things happen and you're not quite sure that you want to continue a relationship because of what might have happened. In this passage, Jesus gives us an understanding of how proper resolution of any interpersonal relationship can happen. How any proper resolution. Now, the very first thing I want to tell you, because all of us need to know this, and I think we do, but we also need to remember it, because sometimes we don't. Someone in the church will sin against you. Someone in the church will sin against you. As a pastor, one of the things that I hear many times is, I heard it a great deal where I was previously in the church. Pastor, I can't go to church because those people that go to church are a bunch of hypocrites. They call themselves Christians, and do you know what they did to me? Do you know what they said to me? Do you know how they treated me? Folks, we need to remember that we're all sinners. That's why we're here. We're here because we're sinners, and we need God's help. Sometimes I think the church should operate as Alcoholics Anonymous does. I don't know how many of you might know their tradition and their introduction in their meetings. But before you speak in their meetings, the very first thing that you say is you say, "Hello, my name is Tim and I'm an alcoholic." I think in church maybe we should do the same thing. What are you? Not alcoholic, okay? I think we should say, "Hi, my name is Tim, and I'm a sinner." Because sometimes we tend to forget that the people that sit in the pews with us are sinners. And when they sin against us, then we are really put off. "I can't believe they did that. They said they're a Christian." Folks, all of us still deal with the problem of sin. Are we released from the bondage of sin because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Yes, we are. But it still can be troublesome at times. Thankfully, I don't get many telemarketer calls anymore. One, we don't have a landline. And two, I don't get very many from cell phone on my cell phone. But there was a day and time for me, be the fifth telemarketer of the night, and you may not end up talking to a pastor or even a Christian. Sometimes I don't know who you might end up talking to. Those of you that don't know me, I worked in the shipyard for 12 years, so I'll let you decide how I might have acted about the fifth telemarketer. It's tough sometimes. Somebody cuts you off in traffic, and what's the first thing that happens? I might say or do something that's not very kind. I had a professor one time that said he didn't put anything on his car that identified him as a Christian because he was afraid what might happen when somebody cut him off. And he didn't want to bring shame on Jesus Christ. Folks, people are going to sin against us, whether they're in the church or whether they're not a member of a church anywhere. People are going to sin against us. Just accept that fact. It's going to happen. Now, in this passage, Jesus Christ says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault. So if someone sins against you, it is your responsibility to speak with them about it in a way that seeks restoration. Keep all this in context here. It's about seeking restoration. So if someone sins against you, it is your responsibility to go talk to them. And Jesus says first, in private, about what has happened. Let them know. Sometimes I might say or do something that is a sin, and I may not be aware of it. It is the other person's responsibility to come to me and tell me about that. That's what Jesus says here. Now, in case you're the one that sins, Jesus doesn't let you off the hook either. Because over in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, this is what Jesus says there in the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar, go and be reconciled to them, and then come and offer your gift. In this case, Jesus says, if you're in worship service and you realize that you have sinned against someone, stop right where you are, go get it right first, then come back to worship service. So what I want you to know, whether someone has sinned against you or whether you've sinned against someone else, it is your responsibility to do something about it. It's your responsibility. Always. No matter which side of that you're on. Now, I do want to tell you as a pastor that Jesus' way of bringing about resolution is rarely followed. Rarely followed. He gives us a way, and let me show you once again what he says. He says, first, if someone has sinned against you, you're to do what? Go and talk with them about it in private. Just the two of you. Just the two of you. If they will not listen to you, and they don't understand that they have sinned, then you take one or two other people with you and you go talk to them about their sin. Then, if they will not listen to you and the witnesses, you tell it to the church. And now it's a church responsibility to go to that person as a church and speak to them about their sin. And if they'll not listen to the church, then you're to treat them as a pagan or a Gentile or a tax collector. I'll talk about that piece here in a minute. Do you want to know how this normally people resolve interpersonal relationships? Well, sometimes if they're in the church, they come to the pastor and they say, "Pastor, can you go talk to Leroy for me? He sinned against me. You need to go get him straight." Now, I hope nobody knows any Leroys. I don't know any Leroys around here. I tried to pick out a name that nobody probably knows. That's often what happens to me. "Pastor, will you go speak to Leroy and will you tell Leroy that he sinned against me and he needs to get it straight?" Is that how Jesus says to do it? Go to your pastor? Matter of fact, in this passage, it never talks about going to your pastor about an interpersonal relationship. Now, I'm going to tell you from my experience what I'm going to do to you if you come to me and say, "Will you go talk to Leroy for me?" I will say this. Have you gone and talked to Leroy yourself first? And then I will also tell you, I'll be glad to go with you while you talk to Leroy. I'm not going to talk for you. What I'll do in that case is be an intermediary to make sure Leroy can hear what you're saying and make sure you can hear what Leroy has to say. Because what happens in an interpersonal relationship when somebody has a conflict, we tend not to listen to the other person at all. Or can I tell you the other way that people solve this in the church? "Hey, come here. Psst, 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 come here. Let me tell you what Leroy did." Never once going to Leroy to talk to Leroy about what Leroy did. "You know what I heard the other day? Such and such did such and such to such and such." Now, I'm going into meddling now. I know that. That's called gossip. That is just flat out called gossip, and it's a sin. I'm not going to call it anything else. Sometimes we even use the excuse of, "Hey, I want you to pray for Leroy because you know what Leroy did the other day?" That's gossip too. What's your motive in sharing it? Have you gone and spoken with the person first? You see, most of the time in interpersonal relationships, people don't do what Jesus asked them to do. As I've done marriage counseling through over 20 years now, here's how people normally handle things when they have a problem in their marriage. They just don't talk about it. Have you ever met the couple? I've heard the story many times. They've been married for 50 years, and somebody asked them, "Have you ever had an argument?" "Nope, never had one. Not a single day did we have an argument." And I used to think, liars. But you know what? That may not necessarily be true. What may be true is that they never talked about the things that needed to be talked about. Therefore, they never did have an argument. Because they didn't talk about the things that needed to be talked about. You understand what I'm saying? And I know many people, especially in marriage counseling, will not tell their spouse when they've done something wrong. I'm just going to give them the silent treatment because they should know. We've been married long enough, they should know. Let me ask you this. If my wife gave me the silent treatment because I had done something wrong, has anybody got a good idea of what my probability is of figuring out what I've done wrong? If you're honest with yourself, the probability is about zero. Because I'm going to start processing, did I do this wrong? Did I do that wrong? What about this? And did I not? And I've got 20 different things, and I bet that I'm going to guess the thing that it's not. The silent treatment doesn't work, folks. What does Jesus say? You go to the person and you talk to them. And you explain to them in private first. If the two of you can resolve it in private, it does not need to go anywhere else, and nobody else ever needs to know about it. The next time you speak to the pastor, you don't have to tell me what such and such did against you, because you've already been to them and you've resolved it. And if it's been resolved, then we need to let it go. So that's why I say Jesus' method is rarely followed. The other thing that we need to remember that's part of this passage that I failed to read, I realize. Verses 19 and 20 say this. Again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I with them. When we go to speak to somebody, we need to remember this. When we seek to deal with sin, Jesus is present and helping us to restore a broken relationship. When we go to speak to somebody else about them sinning against us, or we have sinned against them and we need to talk to them and ask for forgiveness, we need to remember that Jesus Christ is right there present with us and helping us to resolve the situation. Now let me ask you this. If you sit down with Leroy and you talk to Leroy about sinning against you, but you also realize that Jesus Christ is right there with you as you talk to Leroy, watching what you do and watching what you say, do you think that might be a better outcome than if you just go to Leroy and blast Leroy for sinning against you? I have a feeling if I am very conscious of the fact that Jesus Christ is right there with the two of us as we talk to each other, I think I'll act a little bit more like Jesus Christ as I talk with Leroy. What do you think? And there's a much better probability of it being resolved. You see, we love this last verse, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I with them. I've heard people quote that verse over and over and over again about gathering together for worship service, gathering together for prayer. Put it back in the context. In the context where Jesus says this, it's about going to someone else when you have an interpersonal relationship problem. That's the context of this verse. It's not about gathering together for worship. It's not about gathering together for prayer. It's about gathering together with someone else that you have a problem with, that you need to talk to them about it. That's where Jesus says, I'll be there. It is true that as we gather together for worship, as we gather together for Bible study, as we gather together for prayer, Christ is present with us. That is also true. Okay? I'm not trying to say that's not true. But in this context, where this verse is, it's about interpersonal relationships and problems in those relationships. Now let me talk about the last part of Jesus' resolution. Because he says, if they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. When this way of Jesus fails, the person should become a mission field, not excommunicated. When this way fails, the person should become a mission field, not excommunicated. So many people have misinterpreted this verse. If they follow Jesus' ways, here's how they do it. I'm going to go talk to Leroy personally. As I talk to Leroy personally, if he doesn't get it, I'm going to take two or three other people with me. And I'm going to. And if Leroy doesn't get it, we're going to go tell it to the church. And if the church talks to Leroy and Leroy still doesn't get it, we now don't have to talk to Leroy anymore. That's how people normally live this verse. I'm going to treat him as an ugly, nasty person, and I'm never going to talk to him again because he sinned against me. That's not what Jesus says. How are we to treat pagans, Gentiles, tax collectors? How are we to treat sinners? We're supposed to reach out to them with love. What did Jesus say that we're supposed to do to enemies? We're supposed to love them more than we love our friends. It's not about being excommunicated. It's about working even harder to help them come back within the community of faith and live faithfully within the community. Now, I know there are some people that don't ever want to hear that. Because if such and such sinned against me and they're not willing to ask for forgiveness, I'm never talking to them again. You know how I know that? I've had plenty of people sit in my office and tell me that. Word for word. Not talking to them ever again because you know what they did to me? That's sin. That's sin on your part when you do that. Because Jesus said, we should reach out to them even further and include them even more, even though they've sinned against us, even though they haven't asked for forgiveness. Did you realize you can forgive somebody if they don't even ask for forgiveness? They don't have to ask for it for you to extend forgiveness to someone else. I learned out a hard way in college. Had a ministry leader that I had sinned against, and I did not speak to him for a number of years. And finally, I realized what I had done, and I wrote him a letter. And I said, please forgive me. He wrote me a letter back that said, I forgave you years ago. You're the one that's held on to it. I forgave you years ago. That was an incredible release for me to hear that. But it taught me that you can forgive somebody even if they don't ask for forgiveness. Matter of fact, if you don't forgive them, you will spend all your time trying to figure out how to stay mad at them. And what ends up happening is you're trying to figure out how to keep them in a cage so they can't enjoy life. And what you're doing to yourself is you're keeping yourself in a cage so you can't enjoy life. And it will eat you alive. In the book of Hebrews, that's called the root of bitterness that grabs deep a hold in your heart. And you'll spend all your time trying to figure out how to stay mad at that other person while they are going about life, enjoying life, and you get more upset because they enjoy life more. Do you see what you're doing to yourself then? Because sometimes they don't even know they've sinned against you because you haven't gone to talk to them about it. and they're out enjoying life, and you're trying to think up ways to make their life miserable. And you get mad when their life's not miserable. That sounds like a great Christian idea, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. But that's how we tend to do things. Now, I do want to give you a little caveat. I didn't preach on this today because I felt like there was something going on in the midst of our community that people needed to get right. So if you think I'm trying to tell you exactly something that needs to be done in the midst of our community, I'm not. We need to hear this word. We need to hear this word because even I, as a pastor, have a tendency not to go speak to someone else when they sin. And it tells me, Scripture tells me, it's my responsibility to do that. We just trying to kind of gloss it over, kind of not want to talk about it. I could go in depth in all the other passages that says that when one person in the community of faith hurts, the whole community hurts. Because Paul says it's like our bodies. Many of you know that 7 weeks ago I had hernia surgery. I didn't have surgery to get a hernia. I had it to repair it. Okay? Does it still hurt here sometimes? Even 7 weeks later? Yes. How much of my body does it affect? Is there a possibility it can affect my mouth? I'll be truthful with you, yes. If you don't believe in this, then I would like you to do an experiment when you get home. Find a hammer, put your hand down on a flat surface, and wail away on your thumb and see if it affects your mouth. I bet it does. Let the drill slip and hit your hand. Does it affect your mouth, Jerry? Hopefully not. Does it affect the way you feel about things and the way you interact with things? Folks, if we're not sitting down and talking with each other when we have interpersonal relationships and problems with those relationships, then it hurts the whole community. It does not hurt just that person. It hurts everybody. So I want to ask you this. Maybe at this point in your life, there's not someone that you need to go and talk with about sin. But I want to ask you, having heard this, are you going to speak with those who have sinned against you as Jesus directs? Are you going to speak with those who have sinned against you as Jesus directs? I think we need to decide that beforehand. Because if I go, well, Pastor, there's not anybody I know right now that sinned against me, so this message doesn't relate to me. I think we need to think about it ahead of time so that when it does happen, I'm ready to take the steps that need to be taken. I try to keep an incredibly short list of people that I feel like I need to go talk to, either because they've sinned against me or I've sinned against them. Because I realize that sin separates us from God. And I don't want my relationship with God to have any brokenness in it. I need to be willing to go speak to people when they sin against me, and I need to be willing to speak against people that I have sinned against, speak to them and confess to them and repent. So you may be sitting here today saying, Pastor, this is not a situation that relates to me at this moment. That's great. But I'm asking you to think about, are you going to speak with those who have sinned against you as Jesus directs when the time comes? Because there's only one thing, or there's two things, I believe, that go to heaven with you. One is your relationship with Jesus Christ and God. And the other is your relationship with other people. And if there's brokenness in either one of those things, that's not good. Will you go and speak to those as Jesus directs? Let us pray. Lord, this is not an easy word from Jesus. It's difficult and it's hard and it's something we don't want to do. And since it's something we don't want to do, we often find so many other ways to take care of it. When Jesus lays out a way that makes it simple to actually go and talk to the person that we have difficulties with, to actually speak with them and share with them in such a way that hopefully there's a restored relationship. So Lord, guide us, prepare us, because the truth is someone's going to sin against us. So prepare us that we might be ready to take these steps. And know that ultimately, if these steps fail, we're still to try all the harder to help them to see your love, your gentleness, your comfort, your peace, your forgiveness, your grace, and your mercy. You don't absolve us from talking to them, but you ask us to try all the harder if the relationship can't be restored. So Lord, please, give us enough grace that we can go in a very comfortable way to speak with those we need to speak with. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.